Hello, and welcome to another interview on GivingCirclesHelp.com. We're compiling information and interviews from people around the country who are running Giving Circles, and our purpose is to learn from each other and continuously improve our ability to make an impact with our donations. Today I'm speaking with Dawn Woolley, who is the leader of the Women in Science Giving Circle. Welcome, Dawn. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you.
So could you start by giving us an overview of your Giving Circle?
Yes, it started several years ago, and it was the idea of a lady that was working with the dean of the College of Science here at Wright State University. She was an assistant in the office there, had the idea to start this up because women in science here at Wright State were struggling to get promoted and make their rank because professors have different ranks, and you know the resources that you need in science generally come down to funding. So we were trying to help these women out. She had the idea to get it started, and she had a lot of support of the dean of the College of Science, who was a female herself, who had been successful in her academic career and wanted to help other women.
Mm-hmm. And that was in 2006?
Approximately, that's maybe seven. Yeah, several years ago we got it started up.
Okay. So what has your Giving Circle been able to fund over those years?
Well, we just recently hit a landmark of having been able to give away $40,000. So we've been giving out each year three scholarships. One year we gave out four scholarships to undergraduate female students, $1,500 scholarships each. And then we offer two awards per year for faculty members for $5,000, and they write a small application, and usually they're asking us for things for their research, supplies or travel that's necessary to support their research. So basically two grants to faculty members at $5,000 each per year and three scholarships at $1,500 per year.
Okay. And are the recipients of these then women? Is that part of the requirement?
Yes, they have all been women that directly receive the money, but for example, some of the faculty members who have gotten grants may have written the grant to pay for salary, like for help in their laboratory, for example. And if they wanted to hire a male student or laboratory worker, that would be fine with us because that is helping then the female achieve her goals of promotion and tenure.
Okay, so it's rewarding the woman's project, and then how she chooses to conduct that project is...
Yes.
Okay. How does your group end up choosing which projects, which students you're going to give scholarships to, and which faculty members you're going to fund?
As far as the students go, we do look at their GPA, and initially we simply look at that and had lists of students who are interested in scholarships and just at the GPA. Then we decided, well, it would be better if we had them write something to us and tell us, you know, why they wanted the scholarship or what it would mean to them. So we actually now have them write a short application. And so we're using that information and not just the GPA. We tend to give the scholarships to people who have the highest GPA, but that is not always the case because some of the stories were very compelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may have had a lower GPA due to some circumstance, and we would take that into consideration. And that was the case one time where a recipient just was so grateful to receive that scholarship. It was just such a psychological boost for her that to see her at the event where we give out the awards and we have them get up and speak, you know, for a minute or two about what it means to them, it was just very touching. And so you can see that you're really reaching people here.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the faculty members, they just have to write a two-page application. We kept the application short because women, especially in science, are very overburdened, and we didn't want them to have to spend a lot of time writing a lengthy grant. So we just have a small amount of information about their research and what they may use the money for. And then we read those and judge them. We are trying to pick applicants who, you know, the money, in cases where the money would help them achieve promotion and tenure, because in academia that's a huge obstacle for women, is to get their promotions and especially get tenure. Because I'm not sure if you're familiar with the tenure system mm-hmm. in academia, but it's a huge landmark because if they do not get tenure, then they have to leave the university and look for another job. And so it's you either make tenure or you're out, basically.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's a huge hurdle for everyone, men and women, but for women it just seems like when you look at the numbers of women that have been tenured here, we're just not having very large numbers. So we have a disparity in that.
So you're giving priority to projects that you know will help these women become tenured?
Yeah, in a way you might say it that way. For example, we look at the stage that they're at towards achieving tenure, how many years do they have left to go. For example, maybe they would write in their application that if they received funding, they might be able to hire an assistant that would maybe get the next project completed so they can write another paper. That would help them to achieve tenure because you need a certain amount of published papers.
Okay.
Or it might give them, allow them to do the research to get data that may make their next grant application to a major funding agency successful. Because in order to have grant dollars and publish papers.
Mm-hmm.
And those are very difficult to get, especially right now with the recession and the economic situation. Funding agencies are all down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this money right now means more than ever.
Mm-hmm. So I'm imagining that the review process for this, that, you know, you need members of the Giving Circle who have the same scientific background and know how to evaluate these things.
Well, yes and no. We do have members on the Circle who are scientists and can understand the application, but we also, it's a short application, so we ask the applicants to write it more in lay terms, because we have members of the Circle who are not scientists. They might even be community members donating money. And that's who judges the application. It's people who have donated a certain amount of money. And that's kind of wavered over the years in terms of the amount. But if you just made a very small donation of just $25, let's say, you might not get a full vote. But we have a system where we set up people to donate maybe $1,000 a year for 3 years to total up to $3,000, and those would be charter or founding members.
Okay.
And then we had set up a system at one point where maybe if you donated half that, you'd get a half a vote. And so we kind of just played around with that a little bit. But you do have to be a substantial donor to have a full vote on who would receive the grant awards and scholarships.
Okay. Could you kind of walk us through, like, what that voting process looks like? So you've got your applications now in, then what happens?
Well, we send them out to everybody who's going to be reviewing them and voting ahead of time. And then so they come to the meeting having already read them and basically ranked them. And then we write it on the board, the rankings, and we tally everything up, and then we kind of make a rank list from that, and then we discuss them in detail, and then sometimes based on the discussions, the rankings change a little bit. Just because one person may have more information or knowledge, maybe even a scientific knowledge of the project, or may know more of the circumstances, or just has some additional input. So basically it's a consensus of the people that are voting at that time.
Are you doing that in person, via email?
Face-to-face meeting.
Face-to-face mm-hmm. meeting. Okay, so right. Does it, people have the materials then beforehand and they become arrived prepared
right.
to discuss
yes.
and vote?
Yes, they've read all the applications and scholarship essays.
Is that a long
and then
meeting?
Can,
are you doing it in an hour or is it a longer event?
I would say it's at least an hour, but it could go as much as 2 hours.
Okay. Is that the only
and
time?
And it's once a year.
It's once a year.
Once a year.
Do you get together outside of that for any reason?
After we have that meeting, we generally in the spring, it's sometime late in May or early June, we have an award ceremony where we actually present the awards and we make announcements and even have the president of the university come and speak and the provost if he's not available, which does give support to our circle. So we have that get together. We have talked about, on occasion, having additional get-togethers, and we have done that over the years. But one of the issues I'm having right now is getting help with the circle. I had a lady that was helping me. She worked in the College of Science, and unfortunately, due in part to the economic downturn, she's been let go, essentially laid off, because we're having pretty severe budget cuts
mm-hmm.
at all levels here, and so they had to make cutbacks in the college, and her position was cut.
Mm.
So I've just lost my helper, and she was excellent at setting up, you know, events and sending out flyers and information to the donors. So we're really struggling now with just trying to communicate with people who have been donating money, because you have to keep them informed and show them what you're doing with the money.
So
right now we're just struggling with that.
Yeah. So you'll have to find a some way within your obviously incredibly busy schedule to still continue to communicate with donors.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm a full-fledged faculty member, researcher. I'm teaching. I'm writing. So it's very difficult for me to find the time to spend on the circle that I'd like, basically. I'd like to spend more time on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm hoping I might be able to recruit some additional help.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. I talk with, you know, women all across the country who are running giving circles, and it's always a challenge because women are just busy.
Right.
It's always a challenge to balance what we have going on in the rest of our lives with our giving circle activities.
Exactly.
I'm curious, being part of the university, how you find new members for your giving circle. And it sounds like you're doing well, that you've attracted a number of members. So where are they coming from, and how do they find out about you?
I would say the majority of them are right here from the university. So we've been able to set up our giving circle in a way such that each year the university has a scholarship campaign.
Okay.
And it's campus-wide. And when you decide to donate money to that, you can designate, you know, particular maybe colleges. And the Women in Science Giving Circle, you can actually choose that as the direct recipient of your donation through the campus scholarship campaign of Wright State University.
Mm.
And so a lot of employees here want to contribute to that scholarship program, and you can do like a payroll deduction, so they can sign a slip and just have X number of dollars a month taken out of their paycheck and sent to maybe a particular college, but in our case, we hope they're going to choose the Women in Science Giving Circle. We've had some outside donors that just outright will write a check.
Okay.
And so I think it's been usually word of mouth that they find out about the circle. Now, when the female dean was here helping with the circle, she would oftentimes at major events of hers bring up the circle and point it out to people and draw their attention to it. She has now moved on to a different university as a provost there. So we've actually lost that public relations outlet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit harder, but she was always championing women's efforts and bringing it up in front of large groups of people. So that was really helping out. And that probably is what made it successful taking off from the ground up, basically.
Okay. So you have, you know, employees donating from their paychecks, and I'm going to assume that doesn't necessarily add up to $1,000 a year. So would that be?
Right. Well, someone like myself, I mean, I donate a full $1,000 a year to it, and we have several other donors that are at that funding level.
Okay. But then you'll have a lot of...
So that starts to really add up.
Yeah, and then
right,
you'll have a lot of
ones.
Other smaller donations. So how many voting members do you have?
It's been, at any given meeting, we've had no more than 10. I mean, lots are invited, and we invite more than actually show up. But it's been that on that order of anywhere from several up to 10.
Okay. And then how many do you know how many people are contributing to your giving circle in total?
That's one of the numbers I don't have at my fingertips, because my assistant that I... whose position was cut, basically had access to the databases. And so I'm going to have to try to work through the College of Science and Math here at Wright State. They actually were allowing us to run the program out of the college. So there's an account set up, and I've got to now find ways to get access to that now that she's gone.
Okay, sure.
It's only recently that this has all happened.
Okay. Sure. I noticed on your website it said that you have over 40 members now, so that may or may not be a reflection of those other smaller...
Right.
Donors.
At any given time, that's a number that, you know, when I've seen the lists presented to me from my former assistant there, that's about where I recall seeing on the list. But it fluctuates.
Okay. And do you know if she was communicating with all of the donors, or do you communicate
At times,
differently?
yes, they would send out mailings to all of them.
Okay. I also noticed on your website you have a $3,000 as a charter member. And so I guess I'm a little bit curious how you treat different levels differently.
Right, so that was the initial way it was set up, was to have these charter members donating or committing to $1,000 a year for 3 years. In some cases, someone wrote out a check just for $3,000. And then, like I said, we had initially had it set up where if you donated to that level, you'd get a full vote, half that amount, maybe a half a vote. And like over time, we just loosened that up a little bit because the lady who started the circle didn't always write all of this down, and so over the years we've tried to establish some bylaws. So there were some cases where maybe initially some people were told different information, and we didn't want to alienate them in any way. So we've just kind of loosened that up a little bit. If someone's donating $500 a year, that's still fairly substantial, and we allow them to have a vote.
Oh, okay.
But in some cases, someone may do a one-time $25 donation, and we don't consider that substantial enough to warrant a full vote on the grant applications and scholarships.
Gotcha. So you're flexible with your guidelines
With the
there.
voting, yeah, at
Yeah.
this point. And we're trying to, and that was one of the things my assistant was working on, was establish a set of bylaws, and then as we go, things need amended as situations come up.
Yeah. Well, Don, we're approaching the end of our time, and I wanted to check in with you if there was anything that you wanted to share about your giving circle that we haven't had a chance to cover so far.
Well, just that, at these award ceremonies we have every year, to see the impact that it has on the faculty members and students has been tremendous. I mean, that's what keeps me going. One faculty member in the last cycle of giving that received an award, I actually just broke out in tears of receiving her award because she's really been struggling with funding and was just out of money. And she's trying to start up a new project, and it's always hard to get things going when they're new like that. And if you were there and you had seen it, you would have been very moved by it. And that's just what's motivating me to continue with it, despite these cutbacks in it and my difficulties in getting assistance.
And dealing with the busies, fitting it into your already
Right.
packed schedule.
Exactly. I mean, I'm a female scientist myself trying to be promoted to full professor. So I'm having my own struggles at the same time trying to help others.
Yeah. It's seeing how the impact, to actually see the impact you're making on somebody else's life is profoundly rewarding.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Don, I want to thank you so much for participating in our call today.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed it.